Your point is well taken, sir. A liberal, as you probably know today, is someone who thinks the enemy is always right. And a neoconservative is a liberal who's been mugged by reality.
I think there's somebody behind him.
Yes, sir. At the back of the room.
Do you think that possibly one factor contributing to the erroneous conception of the United States as being on the wrong side may be a complacency that allows us, on the one hand, to have the resources to build luxury condominiums, but not have the resources to build decent housing for poor people, to have a massive and maybe needed military buildup, and yet still have the industrial world's lowest percentage of GNP, foreign assistance program, the resources to have wonderful dinners and luxury hotels, and yet to take away the food stamps from hungry people if they wish to go to school. And they get government grants to do so.
I spoke to the man in, probably the key man, who is a Greek national at UNCTAD in Geneva 3 weeks ago on the whole problem of aid to the developing world and how the percentage of the GNP seems to be dropping throughout the industrialized world, rather dramatically in our own country, as you pointed out. Now, he said that 95% of all the aid given by all the Western countries to the underdeveloped and developing countries since the end of World War II has not gone to the people. It has not wound up where it was destined to go. And the French have the highest percentage of GNP in aid to poorer countries, but where is it going? To sustain artificial states in Africa. And what do they do with this money? It's to sustain the government apparatus. The Mercedes cars for the ministers, their houses, their trips abroad to attend UN meetings and other international conferences, the purchase of one DC-10, because they must have a DC-10, otherwise they wouldn't be a state. So you have to look at where that aid is going before you criticize the declining percentage of our GNP. And as for the attempt in San Francisco the other day to divide us between haves and have-nots, in my humble opinion, that is a nostalgic trip back to 1936. That is not where this country's at today. And I've talked, as I'm sure you have, to many black cab drivers from black Africa in this city and other cities who, after 6 years, have managed to buy a house. And after 9 years, have sold the house and bought another house, a better house. If you're willing to work in this country 18 hours a day, and you will get this from anyone who's come from the developed world, beating a path to this country, if you're willing to work 18 hours a day and not rely on the welfare system, you can still get ahead. Yes, I'm still working 18 hours a day, but I'm coasting downhill in style. That's also allowed. Yes, Murray.
Murray Barron, president of
AIM. As if I didn't know.
Two decades of prosperous near treason is the fact that a large part of the industrial community and the banking communities of the West are indeed opposed to the rearming and the revivifying of the will to resist of the populations of the creditor nations. The fact of the matter is, it isn't even left and right or liberal versus conservative. It's all of that. The power of the media to reward and punish an author, an artist, an entrepreneur, an academician, and a whole host of the cultural industrial complex is enormous. Speak to Ralph Ellison, about whom the youngsters in this audience may never have heard of Ralph Ellison, a black author, distinguished author. A whole generation has the vaguest notion of this powerful author. He was a rare black, interested in foreign policy and literature as well. He has virtually disappeared because he supported our policy in Vietnam. And the late great author of Grapes of Wrath, John Steinbeck. Read what his son had to say. Howard K. Smith's son was cruelly, cruelly wounded in Vietnam. And Howard K. Smith, at the height of his career, stated in TV Guide a decade ago, confirming indeed that left liberals dominate that powerful meeting. Not long thereafter, he virtually disappeared. And it is very important that Thomas Theobald, who just missed out being president of the largest bank, Citibank, is the vice president who 2 years ago, you know what I'm referring to, mm-hmm. when queried by a journalist as to what standards are being considered in lending these billions to the Eastern Bloc countries. Is there any concern, asked the journalist, whether or not you are lending money to a free and redeemable society? And Theobald's historic and perfidious remark, Wall Street Journal picked him up on it of all things, was that the bankers as such have no concern with the character and quality of the governments to which they lend this money. The one standard they abide by is, can they pay their bills? Now, I think that we, in our cause and others, have underemphasized the coincidence of interest for appeasement that is taking place in parts of the British Conservative Party and in certain sectors of the continental conservative parties. And oddly enough, more of organized labor resists the communist world than do their prototypes in some of the industrial and banking communities. Now, this power is enormous, and the smugness with which CBS and others can pursue their policies is that they know they haven't alienated a single banker if the bottom line shows the kind of profligate profits.
All written in red carpet.
Yes, read the red carpet by Joe Kramer. We are trapped between the coincidence of two powerful modern classes. And that is that part of the middle class and upper middle class that is entrenched in the communications, which is the broadest generic term you could use. It's the academy, the churches, the media, and all the rest. And that silent, pragmatic, brilliant, and up until recently sensationally successful banking communities of the West and the United States. And I think more attention ought to be paid as Reed and I and others grapple with these corporate giants. After all, CBS is at its prosperous peak, as is the New York Times, because there is a market, an immense market, not in the lower classes, if you will, but within wide sections of the influential middle classes, coinciding with the interests of some of the bankers and some of the industries. So if we spread our indictment, we will rally people, somewhat liberal on this or that domestic policy, somewhat conservative on others, but we'll rally them because one virtue about many of the bankers and industrialists, fortunately, they are intelligently cowardly and sensitively so. And if we hit to elevate this commentary to the highest level, believe me, the virtue and vice of capitalism is that the bottom line counts. And to quote myself in conclusion, quoting an impeachable source, I assure you, is that I said to Punch Sulzberger that I admire the acumen with which he seeks to capture that limited market, pro-communists, anti-communists, and non-communists. And he's doing it. And thank God we've got one third of that triple play coming our way. Thank you.
Well, I will. I just wanted to conclude with, since Murray, after that brilliant discourse with trying to bottom line what you just said. I think Charles Péguy, the famous French poet and philosopher, put it very well 7 years before the Soviet Revolution, when he wrote back in 1910 that it may never be known how many acts of cowardice have been committed throughout history out of fear of not looking sufficiently progressive. That says it all. And I think Winston Churchill also got off a very good line about capitalism and socialism. He said the inherent vice of capitalism is the unequal sharing of blessings, whereas the inherent virtue of socialism is the equal sharing of miseries. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Arno. I told Arno earlier this evening, when just before he spoke, that he was going to be the only speaker tonight, and I really thought that. But it's a custom at our meeting that we have lots of speeches, and I'm glad I enjoyed all of them, and I hope you did too. It's been a great pleasure to have you with us this evening. I hope that we'll see you all at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, bright and refreshed for another busy day. Rob, you have a message there, something on the spike? Rob wants to say that we do. Huh? We're selling the spike, and any of you haven't already read it, don't have a copy, certainly I hope you'll acquire one. Again, thanks again, Arno, for a tremendous job, for all you're doing.